Just thank you that you're in this place this morning, and we are your people. We're your sons and your daughters, and we're asking your Holy Spirit to move. And Father, as we've been a body together this morning, we've already noticed need among us, Father. We've noticed people that are unwell, dear God. We've noticed people that are Lord, Father, that this morning they feel down, that Lord, they feel troubled. And so, Father, in this building this morning, we pray your heaven to come. As it is in heaven, let it be in this building today. I think of the children downstairs right now. I'm praying, Holy Spirit, you just move. You'll move powerfully. For those of us in this room right now, you'll move powerfully. Lord, you are the God that can meet us at our point of need. You know where we are. You know what's going on. We pray, Holy Spirit, come. We just pray for a new move of your Spirit amongst us. Come, Lord Jesus. We thank you for this now. We pray, God, as we open your word, continue to just lead us. Lead us into your glory, we pray. Lead us into your glory. Into your manifest presence. This we would pray in your name. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, it's a verse of Scripture that you'll know pretty well. It says, Paul says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. I don't know if you understand what we're actually pursuing here. We're pursuing not that people will come and experience a set of belief systems that they look at and they go, I believe. Oh, that sounds really good. I believe that stuff. That's not what we're after. We're not even after a sense that we will come and there'll be a sense that we'd come and that we would introduce a sense of lifestyle. You know, I want you to copy me. I don't even think that there is something of that, and there is something of what I've just already said about belief system. But no. What we're really asking is that you would that we would come together and that we would experience a new life. That it would actually be possible to say that I am not the person I once was. That I have radically changed. Now you see a lot of people today go, well, there's slight changes. But never radical change. But this is the picture that the Bible talks about. It talks about this means that anyone who belongs to Christ, now that's the key, that we no longer belong to us, to ourselves. We no longer belong to a system of understanding within the world, but that we actually belong to Christ. Anyone who belongs to Christ. Now how do I belong to Christ? Well, we've got to give ourselves to him. We've got to give ourselves to him. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. I share my testimony on this fact. I was, you know, for me, I was a really troubled teenager in particular. They were my worst years. It was at 17 years of age. So I had an encounter with God. It was real. I remember I was in a really desperate, dark space. And it was in the evening, and I could take you to the place. We were living, I was living at the time down south and in a place called Temuka. I don't know if anybody knows that, but anyway, a place called Temuka. And I was in this house, and I was actually looking after my youngest sister, who's 10 years younger than me. I was 17 years of age, and I can remember the night when I said to the Lord, "Lord, unless I find you, I'm in trouble." I was in a really dark space, and now I've shared this before, so I won't. But it is my testimony this morning. There was nothing by means of a telephone ringing and me answering, going, you know, and hello, and the voice goes, "It's God here. I've just heard you cry. Just want you to know, you know, nothing like that." There was no rattling of thunder outside, you know, that I knew, ooh, gee, you know, God is coming, you know. There was nothing like that. All I know was what we've just sung about here. Atmosphere changed. Atmosphere changed. You with me? the atmosphere. All of a sudden, the 17-year-old boy realizes, this young man realizes, there's something different. There's something different about this moment. And what happened in that moment was that I gave my life to Christ. No longer did I belong to myself. In a sense, no longer did I completely belong to my parents. I felt like I was giving over my life to Christ. Right? And that moment, I was changed. I was radically changed. Now, there were still things that God will need to work on me about, and he's still working on me. But that was the moment. That was the moment of change for me. Now, I'm saying to you this morning, that's what you've got to have in your life. That's what you've got to have in your life. You've got to have that moment. Now, some people say, no, Ivan, I was raised in a really great Christian family. I didn't have dark times like you, and I don't know when, you know, and I've just kind of been raised in the life of the church, and so I don't know that moment of life transformation. Well, I can understand that. Let me describe what I hear there. You see, on the 13th of September in 1959, in 1958, she knew where I was going. On the 13th of September in 1958, I was born. Now, I can't tell you what actually happened. I can't describe it for you. I can't relay the moment for you. I cannot tell you what was going on at all. All I knew was that my father was at the movies. And because he went missing for a number of hours, and they finally tracked him down to tell him the good news and saying, "Where were you?" And he said, "Oh, I went to the movies." So anyway, that's about all I know. But I'll tell you this, I know that I was born. You with me? You all right? Can't give you all the details, but I know that I was born. There are people who would say to me, I've been raised in a Christian family, I was raised all the way, and I'm never sure at this moment when a new life began. Billy Graham would say to you this morning, please hear me, Billy Graham would say to you, you most probably haven't been born again. He'd say, you most probably haven't, because the reality is when a person know that they're born, they know that they're born. And there are people in churches today that have been raised in very, very good Christian environments that honestly says, Ivan, I can't recall a moment when I feel like there was transformation came, when I was born again. I say to you, make it today. Make it today. Make your marker today that says, Lord, I'm giving my life to you. Because anybody who belongs to Christ and has become a new creation. Now look, a new person. The old life is gone. The old life is gone. Now we see, I was a very angry teenager. And, you know, and you pushed my buttons. I was terrible at sport. I was shocking. I was terrible. I couldn't control my anger because I was a very uptight individual. Now, when I came into this new life, there was a sense. What I had to learn, you see, was that I brought my old ways with me into my new life. I brought the fact that I thought that this is who I was. But you see, God began to show me, no, the old life is gone. What's now happening in this moment, if you were to say to Jesus, Jesus, this is always what I do. He goes, what are you talking about? I don't understand. I don't know anything of your past life because that is all gone. It's gone. So what you're dealing with right now today, that's a new event for me. You with me? We can do something that God can't do. We can remember our sin. We can remember, you know, we can remember our nature. God can't. It's gone. You remember God? He goes, no, I can't. It's gone. It's important that he does this for us. Because we know how screwed we are because we never let the past go. Do you understand that the Creator doesn't want to always continue to be have the availability to bring up your past, because He knows you'll be just as screwed as you are. You with me? That's why He does it. No, He says, no, no, it's gone. It's gone. All things, all a new life has begun. So over the years, I thought, man, that's my identity. That's who I am. That's who I am, and that's what we are to become. So by understanding this, then you need to understand that you are incredibly valuable to God. That you are a person that's worth the life of Jesus. You belong to Him. You don't belong to anybody else. You belong to Him. You are a somebody. You do belong here. Even before the foundations of the earth, God knew you. God planned for you. You are no mistake. It's all this stuff. So you are this new person. Look at John 15. Have a look at the screen. It says this. John 15:15 says this. I no longer call you slaves, said Jesus. Because a master doesn't confine in his slaves. No, you are my friends. That's the life that we are. That's who we are. That's our identity. We are friends with God. Since I have told you everything the Father has told. But you are friends. That's the key line. We're no longer slaves. Many of us come to God like slaves. We come begging God. Oh, please, God, please, God. They're begging. He says, don't come like a friend. Friend comes up and says, can I have the keys to your car, Ivan? Now, if there's trust and love in that relationship, what do? You go, oh, yeah, man. Here's the keys to my car. That's who we are. We come to it. Now, in this new life, I want to talk to you about this new life. In this new life, we're friends with God. We're not slaves. We don't have to come begging. We don't have to, you with me? We come as friends. Next verse. He says this in the Bible. It says in Ephesians 2:10. It says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He has planned for us long ago. We are God's masterpiece. Look around. All of us here. We are God's masterpiece. He's created us anew. Too often, I'm going to be speaking about this again tonight at Tawa. I want to talk about, I love the story of the resurrection of Lazarus. It's a great story, isn't it? It's a great story, eh? Yeah, the story of Lazarus, where you're not too sure, you come Tawa at 5:00. But it's a great story. But I love to compare the resurrection of Lazarus with the resurrection of Jesus so that you get a little bit of an inkling of where I'll be chasing tonight. I do not want you to have the experience of the resurrection of Lazarus. I want you to experience the resurrection of Jesus. Because we belong to Christ. When Lazarus came out with new life, they had to untie him. And when Jesus came out, he left the clothes behind. Right? Too many of us are living in the Lazarus experience where we're going through this that we have to spend our whole life in therapy to get over the dead clothes. No, 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 your old life is gone. You're a masterpiece. You're a masterpiece. God has created everything anew. Okay, next, I've got one other verse, and then I just want to, Philippians 3:20 says this, but we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for Him to return as our Savior. Our citizens, not of this earth. Our citizenship is of heaven. So understanding all these things, troubles come our way and all these things happen. Well, the Word of God tells us in Romans 8:37, no, despite all these things that might happen to you, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. That's who we are. Overwhelming victory. We're in the midst of the darkest storm. Overwhelming victory is ours. I remember years ago there was this guy I led to the Lord, and he was having some real tough times. He wasn't a great man. He did some terrible things to his family, and And I brought him to Jesus. I remember one day coming down to the hall early, and there this guy was. He was praying and he was just pouring out his heart to God that God would continue to just bring him this new life that he had ended, and that he would be a changed man. And you know, I sat with him because I knew what was going on in his life. It was a really bad time for him. It was a really dark time too. He looks up and he's got tears in his eyes and he says, "Ivan, overwhelming victory is mine. Overwhelming victory is mine." I tell you, man, Lord, we just cried together about the fact that we just implored God, that despite everything that might be going on, because of who he now was, overwhelming victory was his. Some of you are going through dark times, going through tough times. Understand that you are a child of the living God. Overwhelming victory is yours. Overwhelming victory is yours. Someone might say, but they might kill you. Well, that'll be glory. Why? Because we don't belong here anyway. We belong. You with me? That's who we are. That's who we are. Now, Liz has said this now for the third time. I want to take you to Romans 8. So get your Bibles. If you got a Bible, because I'd like you just to come with me on this journey in Romans 8. Now, I'm going to read from the New Living. And I've just been meditating on this. I've just been meditating on this scripture. And I just want to walk you through this as we finish this morning. And, okay, and it's Romans chapter 8. And I want to start reading from verse 28. And I want us to walk through and meditate on this. I've shared some stuff with you. Now, see if the word of God for you this morning in Romans 8 aligns yourself with this. It says this, verse 28. And we know, problem is as Christians, we don't know. We know. There's got to be a belief system. There's got to be a faith. But there's got to be a faith element to your life. You got to approach everything that's going on in your life in this, that I know something. I know something. Too many disciples of Jesus have been pushed left, right, and center all over the place because they're not standing on something that they know. What do we know? And we know, says the Word of God, that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. Okay, so what do we know? We know that God causes everything. 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 Not most things. Not some things. But God works everything. I know this. I know that God works everything. Look at your life right this moment. So, man, am I going through some stuff? Some people in this church are. They're going through some really tough times, you know, and I'm worried. I'm worried about some stuff that I see going on, and what do I know? I know that God works everything for good, okay? Right? I know this. For the good of those who love God. Notice there is a condition. Here is the condition. For those who love God. For those who love God, those who say to me, Ivan, I don't love God, well, I'm not sure. You can't apply this verse, right? You can't apply this. But you say to me, no, Ivan, I'm the one that loves God. Well, then this is for you, right? This is for you. He's working something out for good. He's working something out for good. I've discipled people over the years, especially people have come out from really bad, depressing things to do this. To have an expectation in life, and that is this, that God is good, and so I expect good things. God is good, so I expect good things. You see, life follows your expectations. Life follows your expectations. If you get up and say, man, what a lousy day, guarantee it. I'll tell you what sort of day you're going to have. You're going to have a lousy day. Life follows. Everything. I know this. Because I love God, that everything is working for good. He's working it, okay? Right? Here we go. Keep going then. It says, he says, for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Okay, we've seen it, that even before time, God has a plan for you. He has called you. Here he goes. Then verse 29, it says this, for God knew his people in advance. He knew his people in advance. You got it? He has known everybody in this room before we've even known ourselves. Okay? And he chose them. And he chose them. I illustrated this to staff the other day. Anybody here, you remember those days? Well, I can. Maybe it was in my era. Those days when you used to pick teams. You all right? You know, you're standing around. Two captains. Now pick your team. And you go and, I wonder if they'll pick me, you know? And they'll go, yeah, I'll have you. And yeah, you know what they're doing. They're picking all the good people first, okay? And you know, that feeling that as everybody else is getting picked, you know, you start to move from, oh, pick me, to, oh, God, I'm really that bad, you know? You're at that point. But listen, God's chosen you. He's chosen you. You've not been left behind. This is what the Word of God says. He says, I've chosen you. I've chosen you. Right? What's this? I've chosen you to what? To do something. It says, verse 29. And he chose them to become like his son. So he chooses us. He picks us out. He says, hey, come on. Come on, I choose you. What? So that you will be like my son. That we would be like Jesus. That's the lifestyle that you and I are pursuing. That's the lifestyle that we want to replicate. Okay, so he says, I chose them to become like a son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. In other words, what you think about the firstborn. I'm the firstborn in our family, right? Okay, sat down the other day, yesterday, sat with my sister, youngest sister. I have two sisters. And sat with my youngest sister, and she's actually the manager up there at Pack and Save, just around the corner, and sat with her, watched her as she started to talk to me. Man, we are family. You know what I mean? I just laughed. I was laughing at myself, just her mannerisms, just the way she, you know, she talked to staff members, da, 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 and the way she came in, and you know, and then we began to talk about, we were trying to help our mum out. She's giving us a few areas of concern at the moment. So we're just trying to talk some strategy about what we'll do and da da da, and one of the things we want to say to her is some things and da da da, and we want to go, and we got this. If you don't like this, if you don't like how we operate like this, we got this from you, Mum. Right? That's what we want to do. That's our strategy. You know, because we're going to walk in there, she's going to go, you're not doing that. We're going to say, yes, we are, because you taught us. I'm the firstborn. You with me? I carry the DNA of the parent. When I look at my two sisters, I see, you know, now, what's the scripture say? Jesus becomes the firstborn. Right? Right? He shows you. He shows you what the parents, what father's like, so that all the sons and daughters that are born become what? Brothers and sisters. That's what the Word of God is telling us. You know, so we come as friends. We come as family. All right, do you get that? Man, I get that. I thought that was a good point. Here we go. Verse 30. Oh, we got it. Thank you. And having chosen them, okay, hey, Aaron, I choose you. He then says, he calls them. He calls them. Verse 30, he calls them to come to him. All right? So he's chosen. Now he calls. Jesus calls us to come to him. And having called them, he then gave them the right standing with himself. And having given them the right standing, he gave them his glory. Okay, I just want you to get this. So what Jesus does, he says, I've chosen you. Could you come here, please? Why do you want me to come to you, Jesus? Because I want you to become like me. Right? I want you to come to me. And now once he's chosen, you go to him. And once you're there near him, he goes, now I got to tell you who you really are, right standing. Okay? Because we so often will come like slaves. We'll come like people who, oh, I am so unworthy. Right? You with me? I am so unworthy to come into your presence. No. I've chosen you. Come to me. Now that you're coming near to me, I'll tell you who you are. I'll put you in right standing. You with me? Why? Because, this is it, because I want to lead you into what? What's the prize? My glory. You with it? My glory. He leads us. Why? Because the ultimate glory is the presence of God. John 14 verse 6 says, you know this verse? I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He says, no one comes to the Father except through me. You know that? John 14 verse 6, okay? Right? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In that verse, I'm going to start playing with you now. In that verse, there is a prize being offered. What is the prize? Most disciples in our world go, it's Jesus. It's got to be Jesus. Have you heard the kid, the answer? You know, the old Sunday school teacher's up there and giving out questions. And anybody got the answer? Little Joey puts down, it's Jesus, miss. All answers must be Jesus, you know. Right, anyway. So you say that's how we've been taught. But you're wrong. You're wrong. Wrong. The prize. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the prize. Who's the prize? The Father. No one comes to the Father except by being in relationship and being family and being me. Too many of us have stopped at the door. You with me? We've stopped at the door. Because you know who the door is? Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the door. But we've stopped at the door. The prize is the Father. The prize is His glory, His presence. That's what we're going after, Holy Spirit. If you saw that song again, I thought it would be good to just have a look at that song again. But do you need to see it? Let's show it. And then we're finished. Let's show that song that we just sang. Holy Spirit, yeah, here we go. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope, your presence. It's true. Can you understand it? Jesus says, hey, listen, I've chosen you. I call you. Once you get near me, I'll tell you who you are, that you're sons and daughters, that you were created to be like me. Why? So that I can introduce you to glory, the presence. Right, next part. I've tasted and seen of the sweetness of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone in your presence stored. That's for real. You imagine it. Imagine you die now, you go into glory, into the presence and the fullness of God. That verse will be very true. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Come fill out this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. That's us. That's what we're going to, as a church, that's what we're going to try and do. We're going to try and pursue the presence of God, the glory of God. That we're going to pursue a sense that God's kingdom would be here on earth as it is in heaven. How could that ever be? Because we pursue the very thing that we will enter when we go to heaven. And that is when we die, we will go into the very presence of God, the glory of God. So what we're going to do now on earth is that we're going to pursue that presence more and more in our world now. So when I saw the wee fella, and I'm terrible with names, but Dave's boy, walking out with this, I'm going, oh Lord, you can heal that ear. You can heal that ear. Why? Because the presence of God, if he walks into the presence of God, he'll be healed. You understand that? What if we had a church, disciples who live like that? They walk down the street, they'd see stuff, and they'd just go, your presence, God, your presence, God. It would change. That's what I'm after. The presence of God. We're walking. All of a sudden, the presence of God. Your family life, presence of God. The glory of God. You're walking down the street. You walk into a shop, and all of a sudden, the owner and the staff are going, something's changed in the atmosphere. All right? You say, it can't be done. Jesus modeled it. That's what Jesus would do. He'd be sitting at the well. And all of a sudden, that well's radically changed. Why? Because he's there. He's carrying what? The glory of God. My Father. My Father's world I bring to you. You with me? Good stuff. Father, I just pray now. I really believe that you're here. I just love it, Lord. I love being... I not so much love this idea that we're necessarily at church in a building. I love that, but I don't want people to get that idea, Father, that it's about a church. It's about a lifestyle, Father. It's about a lifestyle with you. And so, Father, I pray, God, if there's somebody here this morning who has not given their life to you, they do not belong to you, Christ, that this morning, Lord, this morning, they would come and, Lord, get it right with you. That they would give their life to you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. So the thief is on the cross. The guy on the far right says to Jesus, who was in the middle, he says, man, if you are who you say you are, well, you could just change this whole situation. The guy on the far left turns and he says to the guy on the far right, says, hey, listen, leave him alone. I think he's the real deal. I think he's the real deal. We deserve to be here. And in this moment, what happens is Jesus turns to this man. He doesn't turn to the man on the right. He doesn't make any comment to him. But he'll turn to the man on the left and he'll say, today, you'll be with me. You'll be with me in paradise. You know why? Because in that single moment of just turning and just saying to a world, hey, I think he's the real deal, he was actually handing over his life. You with me? Now, some of you will say, but he can't have got saved. He didn't say the sinner's prayer. You know? Well, that's how stupid we've got in the church. We've got so stupid. We've got, you know, unless you follow the formula. No. It's all about the heart, folks. And you can be sitting here right now and you could be sitting here and just saying, oh God, I just give you myself. That's enough. You'll see changes come. The presence of God will meet you just where you are. But I'd like to invite you, if you want to come and just, you know, symbolically just say, I'm sitting here in this, but to this morning, I'm gonna step up and I'm going to come and just give my life to Christ. Well, I invite you to do that. If there's some of you here who are just saying, oh Lord, I want more of your presence, God. I want more of the glory. I understand I've been chosen. I understand I've been called. I understand my right position. I've been trying really hard to get me to understand that. And now, God, why? Why would I need to know who I am? Because you are calling me into your glory, into your presence. You know? So if you want more of that, then that, let it be. We're going to sing a chorus, eh? And if you, this is our time to pray with each other and to minister within each other. If there's anybody here who's unwell, look, please, let's pray for healing this morning. Let's pray for healing. Our brother here goes in the hospital tomorrow. We believe that the hand of the surgeon is on him, amen, and you're his child. But someone might be just felt led to pray with our brother. Pray with our brother who's going in the hospital tomorrow, you know. And if there's anybody else who's got something going on, let's pray with each other as we hand it over to Aaron and the team. Thank you. This morning we pray, God. We come to the altar. We just come to you. We give our life to you, Father. And we pray, God, Lord, this morning we bind each other to the will of God. We thank you that, Father, we see it clearly in the scripture this morning that, Lord, you're choosing us, you're calling us, you're putting us in right standing so that we might enter your glory. So, Father, this morning we pray that we would know the manifest presence of God more and more in our families, in our lives, in our communities, in every place that we, in our workplaces. Oh, God, we pray, Father, just begin to manifest your presence in our world, we pray. And we thank you for this. And all the saints said, amen. Amen. God bless you, everybody.